We have about 250 guys this year, Leah and Hara, but it's difficult because we're spread out over three different buildings and different Batei Medrash. And at the same time, though, it's important not to lose the fact that while we have strong connections within our shiurim with our Rebbeim, Baruch Hashem, but we're also part of a larger whole in our yeshiva, but even within the context of the shiurim and BNP. So it's a special opportunity, especially with Purim ahead. Purim is a yontav achdus to be a knosas, at least mixas of the Kol HaYehudim, and take the chance to learn with each other and from each other, and focus on the yontav ahead. Both Bigadol in Hashkafa of Purim as in general, but also to take a closer look at some of the elements of the Megillah. So we're going to divide the morning, Mr. Hashem, next hour or so in about six parts. We're going to have three vorts on Avodas Hayom, Purim in general, and then we'll follow up with three portions of analysis of the Megillah. We divided the first three prakim, second three prakim, then the last four. Amongst the three of us here. So I want to thank Rav Belzon and Rav Moshe Tzvi for allowing me and all of us to learn from them and all of us together on this occasion. And B'siyat HaShemai, we should have opportunities to learn together in and out of Shir as well in the future.
Amen.
Okay, so I was asked to start off, I think just because I have the most gray hairs in my stomach. But there's an interesting Gemara we're all familiar with, Daf Yud Gimel Megillah, which tells us about the poor, about the lottery that Haman set up in order to determine when it was he was going to bring this gezeirah on Klal Yisrael. And he rolled the dice and it came out with Adar, and originally was happy because it was the time of the Yurtzeit Zayin Adar, the Yurtzeit of the month, that Moshe Rabbeinu died, and he thought that was a good sign, because must be it's a negative, auspicious time for Klal Yisrael. And he was misled, because what he didn't know was that this was the birthday month of Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Rashi has an interesting line. It's really, it's a pella. Rashi says the reason why Haman was mistaken and why it's really a good month for Klal Yisrael is because the Yom HaLeda is Mechaper on the Yom HaMisa. Yom HaLeda is Mechaper on Yom HaMisa. What does that mean? What's Rashi saying? Yom HaMisa, first of all, Yom HaMisa, why does it need a kapara? Why does the death need a kapara? Normally, death is a kapara. So what does the Leda do for you? And moreover, birthday in Yiddishkeit, it's debatable. It's not clear exactly what the significance is, but it's definitely not Pashut. But regardless, how does the day that you're born come to be a Mechaper for what happens 120 years later? Rashi is Tzarechin for now. Another pshat, why it turns out Adar is a good month for Klal Yisrael, could be because Maran Kedushin, Daf Lamed Ches, we're learning this year, Moshe Rabbeinu died on the same day that he was born. Mispar Yomecha Amalei, Pasuk says in Parsha Mishpatim, that's a bracha, Chazal understand that for a tzaddik to come full circle in the cycle of life and die on the same day that you're born, that's a very good sign. It's a skula. And l'chor of the pshat is because it represents shlemus. The Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuva that every Jew can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. And everyone asks, what do you mean everyone can be like Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rambam himself says, when Yud Gimel Ikarim, that you can't be like Moshe Rabbeinu. No one ever was like Moshe Rabbeinu. No one ever will be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Elamai, some of Farshim say, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the pinnacle, the apex of potential. What he was supposed to accomplish in his life. He hit shlemus. Everyone can reach their own personal shlemus and the potential they're supposed to reach. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu came full circle and died on the same day he was born represents that shlemus he accomplished what he's supposed to get. So maybe that's a pshat in the day of his death, you know, and coming full circle the day of his birth being a good thing for Klal Yisrael. Question is, you know, you look at this Gemara, and we've heard this Chazal probably from the time we were in kindergarten, but you could be missing something also, because Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be figuring in very seriously to the miracle of Purim. It's not Sam, it's a good month, it's a bad month, but Moshe Rabbeinu was the make it or break it for Klal Yisrael. Moreover, there's a Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, which I'm sure many of you have heard recently, if not in the past. The Gemara asks, Esther Minat Torah Minayin, Mordechai Minat Torah Minayin, Haman Minat Torah Minayin. The Gemara is looking for the characters of the Purim story, so to speak, some sort of hint to where they appear in the Torah. Esther's found in the Torah. The Torah says, Haster Asteras Panayin, because the Baruch says there's going to be times of Hasteras Panayin. But on that list of Mordechai, Esther, and Haman that the Torah is looking to find some root in the Torah for, the Gemara is looking for a root in the Torah for, it also says Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu min HaTorah Minayin, which is a pell of a question. What do you mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, where's there a remez? Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu is all over the Torah. What do you mean a remez? So the Marashah says there must be that Moshe Rabbeinu, you need a Moshe Rabbeinu in the Purim story also. It's the only way to explain the fact that he's grouped together with Haman, Mordechai, and Esther. So once again, it's two stripes. Moshe somehow figures into Haman's mistake and his downfall. What's this all about? So Athenius died, it could be like this. There's a famous word from Byron Cutler on that Gemara in Kuf Lamed Tes. Gemara says, where do you know, what's the remez for Haman, Minat Torah, Minayin? So So Gemara says the remez for Haman is Hamin ha'etz asher tzivisicha. Hamin, hey mem nun, same osios as Haman's name. Kodesh Baruch says to Adam Rishon, did you take from the tree? Hamin ha'etz, did you take from the tree the etz hadas that I told you not to take from? Obviously Adam Rishon did. And that's the remez to Haman. So what does that mean? Haman is Gan Eden. What does he have to do with Adam Rishon? What's going on? So beautiful pshat from Baran Kalman. He says like this. He says, what was Adam Harishon's life like? Basically, he could have anything he wanted. Everything was open to him. It was free for the picking. Nothing was held back from him, except for one little pleasure in this world, in Gan Eden, the Eitz Hadas. That was the only thing that Kodesh Baruch Hu took away from him. Mikol ha'etz, Eitz Hagan Tochel, anything you want except for that Eitz Hadas. Where does that parallel Haman? So the answer is because Haman, look at the Malbim, has a beautiful diak. Says in the Megillah, after Haman is invited to the party with Esther and Achshverosh, Vayetze Haman Bayomahu Sameach V'Tovlev. Sameach V'Tovlev Bayomahu. That's on that day, the first time that he was equated with royalty, with the king, Mamish, by the queen herself. Finally, after all these years, Haman was finally happy. This was the first day he was happy? What do you mean? For years already, he's been a chashuv advisor in the king's palace. Elamai, it was the first time that he was actually happy, because Haman's whole attitude towards life was more covet, more money, more honor, more respect, more power. The first time he ever had a little satisfaction in Sipuka Nefesh was when he was equated to the king. That defined Haman. It was never enough. Because what happens? He's walking down the street, everyone's standing up for him, everyone's bowing down for him, except for one Poshidin. Wasn't so posh, but one Poshidin, the entire Klal Yisrael, entire 127 dinas, and that burst the entire bubble for him. That was the whole thing. And immediately, Kol Zayin and Shavali, he says that it's all meaningless. Because he had the same attitude that other Marishanists criticized, so to speak, for. That he had everything, but it was never enough. He wanted more and more and more. Even that last little bit, it was all or nothing. Just like other Marishan had a similar experience. He could have had anything, but it wasn't enough. He needed to get that one piece of taiva from the Eitz Hadas that otherwise was held back from him. That's the subtle reference, Baran says, between Adam Rishon and Haman, that they come from the same word. So I was just wondering. I have to admit, I did a search on Bar Ilan. Okay, and once everyone's asking, Hamin ha'etz, you know, what does that have to do with Haman? So I said, no, this guy, hey, Menon has to appear some other place in the Torah. The truth is, this is the first time it appears in the Torah, the Malagon and Ritzadok. There's a hashivas to the first time thing, but hey, Mem, that hey, Menon, Hamin, appears twice in the Torah. Hey, Menon, Haman, like what falls from the sky, yeah, appears five times in the Torah. And if you ask me, which one sounds more like Haman? Haman, not Hamin, right? So, Elamai Rabbah said, why couldn't Chazal get the remez of Haman in the Torah? The support is because the whole yesod of the Mon was the antithesis of what Haman stood for. Haman was, I'm sitting right here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making everything I need come right down to my doorstep, where I am, whatever I am, doesn't make a difference. Yirmiyo, hundreds of years in the future, people weren't learning Torah, he took it out, the little sample of Mon that was in the Aron Kodesh, and he said, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can provide for you, can sustain you wherever you are, don't worry, your product's taken care of. That was the Mon. The Mon was, Hashem says, Bitachon, I got you covered, you don't be satisfied with what you have, because what you have is precisely what you need. What you need, sorry. On both sides, there were three Parnassim in the Midbar, there were three Nisim in the Midbar. The Anani HaKavod were Aaron HaKohen. The Be'er Mayim was Miriam. Who's the Chus? Was the Mon of both sides? It was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu represents for Klal Yisrael the Midah of, in Gashmis, you're wrong, Haman. In Gashmis, you're wrong. You want more and more and more, it's never enough. But what was Moshe Rabbeinu was Shlemus. Moshe Rabbeinu hid his potential. He hid his potential, he accomplished everything he was supposed to accomplish in this world, and nevertheless, on both sides, two Gemara said, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not enough. One Gemara in Sota, Daf Yudalet. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing, Arbos Moav, looking over at Eretz Yisrael, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 515 tefillos, Gematria Vaschana, I want to go in. Why? In fact, Gemara, because he wants to have a Bamba and Chvesa Osem ketchup. No! Bozai, the reason he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael was to be Makayim, the mitzvah of the Bar, it's Dr. Gemara, Harbi mitzvah Stav Yisrael, the in Miskayim El Beit Yisrael, Ekonis Anil Oretz. I want to go inside and get all the mitzvahs, all 613. I fulfilled my potential already. It's never enough. I want more. And Ruchni said, it's never enough. Gemara Maku says, unbelievable. The pasuk in Shulma Melch, Oiv Kesef will use but Kesef. Someone who loves money will never be satisfied with money. Comes along the Gemara and says, Zeh Moshe Rabbeinu. Understand? Money? Moshe Rabbeinu? What does one do with the other? No! Moshe Rabbeinu set up three Arei Miklat on one side of the Yarden, knowing that they weren't operative until the other three were set up on the other side of the Yarden. Aval Pichain, Zok Moshe Rabbeinu, Mitzvah Shabbal Yadi Akhenenu. I have a chance. Won't even work until I get to Eretz Yisrael. But even though what I've accomplished is the Shlemus, same birthday, same Yartzeit, I fulfilled everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to accomplish, Nonetheless, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. If I have another chance to do a little bit more, I'm going to do it. One more second, Rabbi Yossi. One more minute. So you see from here, Rabbi Yossi, the downfall of Haman. He could have saved himself a lot of trouble. If he would have been happy with what he had, then that would have been the end of the story. And Klal Yisrael would have been okay. Haman would still be around. Who knows? And Moshe Rabbeinu was his downfall. He had staring in his face the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu that represented the shleimus that he is supposed to not be happy with in Gashmias, be happy with Gashmias, and not be happy with in Ruchnias, to keep striving. And he made that mistake. Well, that's the lesson we're supposed to take. I just want to close with a quick story that someone I know once had the schluss to drive Ramat Yisrael Solomon around a little bit. And they were somewhere in New Jersey, and they stopped for Mincha, and sitting in the back of a shul. And it was Tuesday of Parsha B'Shach. So everyone knows Tuesday in Parsha B'Shach. In the words of Rabbi Leibowitz, if I had a dollar for every email someone sent me to remind me to say Parsha Zaman, I wouldn't need to say it. Yeah. So everyone's saying Parsha Zaman Tuesday of B'Shach. So one older Jew says to another, sitting next to him, 70, 80 years old, so new, did he say Parsha Zaman today? Said, no, Parsha Zaman, you know, I've been saying it for decades. What did it ever do for me? You know, did I win the lottery? No. Did I make $100 million? No. But what am I? I'm not going to bother Parsha Zaman. So Ramat Yisrael was a very proper English accent, very beautiful Jew. He comes over, he says, excuse me, it's not really my style to interrupt, but I heard what you said. Let me just ask you a question. Did you ever go to sleep hungry? Did you ever miss your mortgage payment? Were you able to send your kids to school? So the guy answered yes to all the questions. So what do you mean Parsha Zaman never did anything for you? What do you mean? Parsha Zaman, their dumb comment that I should be, Mispala, I should get $100 billion in the lottery. No! Parsha Zaman means that Baruch Hu provides for our needs. And if you're Mispalel and you see that not everyone can answer yes to all three of those questions. So what do you mean Parsha Zaman never did anything? To Elamai, we have this Gisha of Amalek that goes back to Esau, the progenitor of Amalek, of Yishli Rav and Yaakov of Yishli Kol. To be satisfied with what I have, the satisfaction of knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides me what I need, and to move away from my priorities in Gashmias and say, okay, now that I have everything I need in Gashmias, let me see what I can achieve in Ruchnias, and to never be satisfied with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the schus to fight that aspect of Amalek also with the call of Moshe Rabbeinu, this Purim and every Purim is Hashem.
The Shekayach Rabbi Schnall, Shekayach Rabbi Weinberg for this opportunity to really, I'm just very excited to gain from this Oris that these two Talmidei Chacham are giving us, and that was a tremendous Vart. The Shekayach Rabbi Schnall. I just wanted to share an idea from the Megillah, but I just want to preface it with a personal natiya that I have, that I think that the Vilna Gaon says that the Gemara often has drashas. Gemara, he specifically talks about the Gemara, the pasuk in Megillah and Perek Vav, that Balayla Azeh Nadda Hamelech, and Balayla Hu Nadda Shnas Hamelech, and Achashverosh went for a nap, went for a sleep. He wasn't able to fall asleep, and he brought the Sefer Zichronos. So the Gaon says, you know, often we have different pshatim in the Megillah, and there's the pashup shatim sukim, like we darshan and we read in the parsha every week, and then there's the deeper interpretation. So the Gaon is quoted as saying that when it comes to the Megillah, the story of the Megillah, it's v'nahafachu. It's that the pashup shat is really that it's speaking about HaKadosh Baruch. The Pashup Shad is that the Rabbeinu Shalom opened up the Sefer Zichronos. Happens to be that it actually manifested itself with Achashverosh in the story, but that's the Pashup Shad. And the emphasis, I think this Gaon is really applicable to the entire Megillah. Megillah is something that I personally, you know, look to for his Oris and for the Rabbeinu Shalom communicating with us. The Bnei Yisachar writes how the story of the Megillas Esther, which is part of the reason why it's not going to Nisbata La'asid, like the Sfarim explain, is because the story of the Megillah is something that's lo yavor, it's never going to pass by. Everything that's happening in your life is already being merumas inside the Megillah, and according to the Vilna Gaon, is pashup shat in the Megillah, and that's what we really have to look into the psukim of the Megillah to get the message and the communication of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell us. So in Perek Dalet, the Megillah starts off with a story with Mordechai and Esther. But before I get into exactly the idea that I'd like to share with you, I'd like to pose the following question. A halacha question. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva with a fascinating question regarding the halachos of Purim. The Gemara tells us in Megillah that you guys all experienced this when you were in Eretz Yisrael. If you were ben yomo bepruz, or you're a ben yomo bekrach, which means as follows. If I happen to be that day in Yerushalayim, then I'm decided to be like a Yerushalmi. And I read the Megillah on Tesvav. Or if I happen to be in Bnei Brak, on, maybe Bnei Brak's a bad example. If I happen to be in Karen B'Yavne, or in Yeshiva, in Rehovah, wherever I am, in, on Yedalitz, then I'm judged like Yedalitz. So ask the Chasam Sofer, why? I don't understand. If you look throughout Shulchan Aruch, you look throughout Shas, whether it's pertaining to the halachos of the ear in Idachas, an ear that has to be destroyed because they were Oved Avodah Zarah, or whether it has to deal with the halachos in the Mishnah Berurah about who gets kedima from the Yomud to be part of a member of a shul, who can get kedima, it's always based on a person who's been an inhabitant of this city for 30 days. A ben shloishim yom, a person who we're makir, a person who we recognize, a person who's a bar yishuv, a person who's connected. So why is it suddenly, when it comes to the halachas of Purim, one halacha in the Megillah, that we're judging this situation and this person's status based on one day? One day! Wherever you are, right here, right now, that's going to change the halacha. So the Chasam Sofer answers this in his tshuva, and he says, if you look in the psukim say, the psukim highlight this halacha of Mishu dar be'arei prazim, ben yomo shel praz is nidom kepraz, because it says in the Megillah be'arei haprazim, be'arei as opposed to the other halachas like ir anidachas where it uses it with a hey hayadia, hayoshev be'ir anidachas or hayoshev. So the Chasam Sofer says there's a difference in terminology and translation when it's speaking about the yoshev. The Yoshev is one who, his house is over there. He happens to not be right now, but usually on Shabbos he comes and he sits over here. He's one who's part of the Chevra. He's a member of the Shul. Whether he's here right now, it doesn't really matter, but he's associated, he's affiliated. He's been here for 30 days. He's made his impression on the area. So if his property is in the Irin Idachas, then he's considered a member of that city. That's what the Hei Ayodia. But when it says Be'arei HaPrazim, so the Megillah is saying, where are you right now? Bit. I'm in the city. Be'arei HaPrazim. So if you're in the city right now, so then that's going to have that ramification, and that's going to be the deciding factor of whether or not you're going to lay the Megillah on Yedalit, or whether you're going to lay it on the Megillah on Tesvav. So that's what the Chasam Sofer says. But the question is, why? So the Megillah changed its language. It switched from a hey to a base. And the Chasam Sofer's analysis is 100% correct, that there's a difference in our translation of a phrase of whether a person is connected to the city, is a member of the city, or is one is physically, actually, befo'el right now in the city. But why? Why is it that the Torah and the Rabbanu Shalom decided that when it came to Megillah, we're deciding it right here, right now, not dependent on what your history was, not dependent on what your future is, and right now, right here? So I think the answer to this question lies in the Megillah. When Mordechai comes to Esther with Asher Yivada, Mordechai Yoda es kol Asher Nasa, Mordechai, the Gemara tells us, he had Ruach HaKodesh, he found out what has been going on, the decree against the Jews. So Mordechai goes with an intermediary to communicate with Esther. And the Pasuk in Pasuk Zion says, Vayaged lo Mordechai es kol Asher Karahu. Doesn't get into details. It says in general, Mordechai tells Esther or communicates through this intermediary, Asher Karahu, everything that happened. And Mordechai pleads with Esther that what? I'm sorry, Esther immediately responds. And Esther says to the messenger, tell Mordechai the following. Mordechai is asking in order for Esther to put in the Hishtadlus right now and to go in and to plead on behalf of the Jewish people to flip around the Gzeirah. So Esther responds as follows. Kol avdei ha-melech va'amam yinos ha-melech yodim. Everybody who's in everybody, anybody amongst everyone, anyone who's from around here, come on Mordechai, knows, asher kol ish v'isha asher yavo la-melech ha-lachotzer ha-pnimis, anyone who goes into the melech, to Achashverosh, asher lo yikara that wasn't called in, achazdos la-hamis, me asher yoshit lo ha-melech ha-sharvit ha-zahav ha-hoya, va-ani lo nekresi lava la-melech zesh lo shimyo. Says everyone knows that you can't just walk into the melech. Everyone knows that you can't just show up. and I can't do what you're asking for, of me. I haven't been called in for 30 days. I'm not up to my turn. It's not my opportunity right now. It's not the right time. And Zehu. So Mordechai responds. And Mordechai responds, I think, with a very sharp answer. Vayomer Mordechai lahoshev el Esther. Mordechai says to Esther, listen up. Ki imacharesh tacharishi, if you're going to stay quiet, bo'ez hazos. Mordechai doesn't say, you need to go in and be mechaziker and say, please, again, I'm asking you to go in. Mordechai says, bo'ez hazos, right now. You need to go in right now. Revach v'atzol la'yudu mimakum acher, v'atu beis avich tovedu, umi yodeim le'ez kazos yigatu l'malchus. Then Mordechai says, you need to go in right now, be'ez hazos, and if not, there will be another hatzolah coming from somewhere else. But then Mordechai says, umi yodea. He repeats the same idea. Umi yodea, and who knows? Im la'ez kazos. If for this second, this moment, right here, right now, he got l'malchus. Is why you have this opportunity, is why you have this ability to go and to be one-on-one with the king in the special status that you have. But then Mordechai, a second before, adds in a phrase that the first time I saw this, I was like, this is the most insulting phrase ever. As we know, Chazal tell us that Esther was Asher Ein Lo Avoim. Esther was an orphan. Not only was Esther an orphan, this actually has ramifications, la halacha, it's not for now, but Rashi in Megillah and Daf Yud Gimel tells us Esther never met her parents. Esther lost her father when Rashi says the time that a person becomes a father at the time of conception. And Esther lost her mother at the time of Leda. She never met anyone, says Rashi. And Mordechai is like shtachin her. And your father's house, what are you saying? She never met her father. If you want to tell me I lost my father, you want to tell me that I'm going to embarrass my father's legacy, my father made an impression on my life. That's going to charge me. That's going to do something that's going to make a difference, and I'm going to go in and I'm going to do what you want. But a person that's an orphan, you're stalking them. They never met their father, and that's going to be more convincing for me to get the job done? Who is her father? Who is the father? She never met her father. What's Mordechai telling her? I think the answer is as follows. And immediately after, Mordechai repeats those words, Ke'es kazos. Miodatim ke'es kazos. You have to go in right now. If you're quiet, be'es kazos. And don't let your father's house down. Esther hears a message, and that totally transforms her. She says, gather all the Yehudim, and let's fast, and then changes the whole story. And she's with Mordechai, there's no more debate. What happened? So Rabbi Isai, we know we're going to lay on Shabbos, Parsha Zohar. Parsha Zohar is remembering what Amalek represents. As the Mefarshim explains, Asher Karcha Baderech, Amalek represents Mikra. Amalek represents not recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our day-to-day lives, in the Hove, in the right here, right now. Mordechai introduces this episode and says, I need to talk to Esther. I need to tell her, Kol Asher Karahu. I need to tell her how Amalek is seeping in through the windows. Amalek is sending all the advertisements on Facebook and everywhere. Amalek is influencing Am Yisrael in a tremendous way. And I got to tell Esther what's going on. Which is fascinating that Esther didn't know about this. Esther also had Ruach HaKodesh. Esther didn't hear the same thing that Mordechai, Asher Yoda, that knew Akol Asher Karo. And Mordechai comes in and says, go in and daven and go in and plead with Achashverosh to save the Jewish people. And Esther responds and she says, not now. I haven't been there in 30 days. It's not the right time. Mordechai says, did you hear what I said? I said Asher Karahu. I said that Amalek is everywhere. You're falling into the same trap, says Mordechai. You're not recognizing what the tafkid of a yid is. It's ka'es hazos. It's b'li cheshbin. It's right here, right now. Not tomorrow's going to be a better opportunity, or not because I haven't felt the davening in 30 days, and I haven't made dominion, or I haven't had a good Seder in the past 30 days, or I haven't been called by the king for the past 30 days. Forget the past. Forget what's going to be in the future. Do it right now. Otherwise, you're feeding into Asher Karohu. The Netziv says something beautiful on the Parsha of Amalek. The Pasuk says, Kiyad al Kes Ka Melchama LaHashem Amalek. Chazal tell us that in Akise Shalem, the word case is without an aleph. Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malchus is not complete until Amalek is annihilated. But it's fascinating, says the Netziv, that the Pasuk says, Kiyad al Kes Ka, with the word letters Yud K, which is one of the Shemas of Hashem. Says the Netziv, that's exactly what Amalek plays around with. Amalek plays around with the Shem Hashem of Yud Kei. Amalek says, take the Shem Hashem Yud Kei. Put a hay in front of it. So Amalek recognizing Hashem Hoya, Hashem was. Amalek even says, take the phrase Yud Kei, take the Shem Hashem Yud Kei, and put a Yud Kei in front of it. Hashem Yiyah. The one thing Amalek won't do, it will not add in the Vavkei. It will not end in the Hove, the present, the right now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is relevant, and we got to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu today. Not dependent on what was, and not dependent on what will be. Says Mordechai, if you don't go in Bo'es Azos, Revech Vatzala Bo'es Azos, Im Hecharish Tacharisi Bo'es Azos, if you're not stepping in the Vav Hei Tashem Hashem, and you're not recognizing Hove as well, so then, you're falling into the trap of Amalek. And Mordechai tells her, and let me tell you, you're not the first Jew to fall into this trap. Your fathers have fell into the same trap. Already starting from your father, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he fights Amalek, the Pasuk says, Tzev yilachem lemachar, he tells Yoshua. The Targum Yonason says an unbelievable thing that I could never say on my own. But in that episode, when Moshe Rabbeinu is leading the Jewish people in davening, while Yoshua is leading in the battlefield, Moshe Rabbeinu's arms became kaved. They became heavy. The Targum Yonason explains it was a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu because he pushed off the Melchama to when? L'machar. That is Amalek. Amalek has to be dealt with now. A Jew has to distinguish himself from Amalek and respond, and then you're now eradicating Amalek. And the same exact episode happened in Shmuel, in the Haftorah for this week's Parsha, Rabbi. Shmuel tells Shaul HaMelech, V'atolech takeyes ha'am. The Pasuk says, V'atolech. Now go and annihilate Amalek. Now destroy Amalek. And what did Shaul do? Shaul killed all of Amalek and he left one person. He left Agag. And Agag, the Mepharshim tells us, and Shaul eventually dealt with Agag. Shaul eventually killed him. He just did it lemachar. He did it the next day. Mepharshim tell us that night that Shaul left Agag alive, he impregnated a woman that ultimately led to the birth of Haman. We are here right now saying the story of the Megillas Esther because Shaul wouldn't respond, Bo'esahi. Shaul wouldn't respond, Va'ato. Mordechai says, you think this is, you're the first person that's trying to delay things? Va'atu Beis Avich, your forefathers. Moshe Rabbeinu, Lamachar, Va'ato. That's the message that Esther received, that Bo'es Azos. No matter where you guys have been holding till now, how geshmak your storm have been, how your kesher with the Rabbanu Shalom was, the Rabbanu Shalom tells us a message right here, right now. Ba'is Azos, that's all I want from you. I want the Hove. I want the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yudke, Vovke. Not Hoya, not Iya, I want Hove. And that's what Mordechai says. It's fascinating that when Esther says originally and hesitates to respond to Mordechai, Esther says, I can't go in because I haven't been called by the Malchus for 30 days. I haven't felt my tefillas. I haven't been to Minyan for 30 days. I haven't been to Isaac and Mitzvahs for 30 days. You know what I've been involved with for the last 30 days, says Esther?
And Mordechai says, Bo'ez ha'zois, I don't care. It doesn't matter. You have the opportunity to be mekashe yourself with the Rebbeinu Shalom ba'hoive, right now, Bo'ez ha'zois, va'ata, not lemachar, right now. Chassam Sofer asks Akasha. Chassam Sofer says, why is it that every other halacha, we decide who is a Benir, and who is part of this city, and who is a member, based on 30 days. And when it comes to the Megillah, suddenly the halacha is, wherever you are on the day of Purim. Wherever you day are on the yont of Purim. The answer, I think, is as follows. It's exactly what Esther told us. Esther told us that I can't go in. I'm not accustomed to the Malach right now. I haven't been there for 30 days. I'm not shayach to the Malchus right now. I'm not comfortable with the Malchus. I can't connect to the Melech. And the Poshup Shad, I'm telling you, being the Melech Malchei Amlochim. And the Mordechai's Mechadi says, that's what Purim is about. Purim is about not being accustomed. Purim is about not being shayach. Purim is about it doesn't matter what was and it doesn't matter what will be. It matters what is now. Bo'es ha'zois be'es ha'hi. Va'ata, now. Now we have to destroy Amalek. Because that's what Amalek wants you to say. I'm not one of the chevra. I'm not one of the guys. I'm not in the mode. No. Va'ata. Pruz ben yomo kari pruz. It depends where you are on the day of Purim. Not lamachar, and not what Esther says, shloshim yom. That's every other halacha, but not when it comes to the yontif of Purim.
The worst part is I have to talk. I can't just listen to the Rabbam go on and on. It's amazing. Mishenichlas Alder Marvin Besimcha. So there's a Torah from Rabbi Nachman. This is a Chassidus Torah. Rabbi Nachman has in Likutei Maran, in the second volume, in the Tinyana, in Torah Chaf Gimel. Rabbi Nachman says, I'll give you a mashal how Simcha works. B'inyan HaSimcha al pi mashal. Sometimes you have a group of people dancing. Baruch Hashem, as was pointed out already, it's so nice when the shiurim come together and get together. But even when we get together, we have to be choshes for the person who's not here. We have to be concerned for the one who's still sitting outside. So sometimes you have a group of people, b'nei adam, or smeichim, they're rejoicing, they're dancing. But they feel that the simcha is incomplete because they look out of the corner of their eye and they see there's that guy who's sitting in the corner. There's the person, for whatever reason, he doesn't feel that he's shayach to the dancing. Now the person who on Simchas Torah all of a sudden becomes a big masmid, he's busy with his gemara in the corner, dafka on Simchas Torah, the one day of the year, like people dancing, and he has to go off on the side. Or for whatever other reason, he doesn't feel a kesher to what's happening. So Rabbi Nachman says, when you see that there's a great simcha and people are singing and dancing, grab the Jew, chotev, grab, literally, grab onto that person who's sad, who doesn't feel that he's able to join in the simcha. He's in a state of marash chora, which is a very frightening word. Marash chora means a person who's depressed. It's much deeper and darker than sadness, than atzvos, marash chora. And drag him in against his will, even if he's kicking and screaming, drag him back in to the circle of those who are dancing. And force him to be happy. You have an obligation to be happy. It's a halacha. Okay, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not in the Rambam. Chassam Sofer actually raises that question. Why is it not found in the normative halachic sources? But again, everyone knows, it's a halacha. You have to be b'simcha. So we drag this guy in, bal karcha, we force him to be b'simcha. Ki yesh b'inyan ha-simcha. Ki kesha adam sameach azay ha-marash chor v'yisurim nistalkim en atzad. Sometimes when a person's happy, so he's able to take his sadness and leave it in the corner. So sometimes the person who's dancing, the person who's enjoying that moment of simcha, takes whatever troubles they have, whatever yisurim they have, whatever difficulties they have, whatever depression they have, and they leave it on the side. But Rabbi Nachman says, you know what a higher level of simcha is? When you're able to take all that sadness, you're able to take that part of yourself that doesn't feel worthy, like Rav Elazar was speaking about. Right, where you make excuses, where you say karo, and you say it's not, now's not the time, now's not the place. Right, this piece of me is not shaykh to the simcha, the piece that's sitting out in the corner. To chase after the marashchora, to chase after the darkest parts of our lives. And to drag that person, or drag that part of yourself into the middle of the circle. That sad part also becomes shayach to the simcha. And sometimes when you drag that guy in, you pull him into the middle, he has the greatest simcha of all. He's the star of the show, he's the center of the attention. Everyone else who's a regular part of the simcha, they don't feel the simcha the same way that the person who is sitting on the side feels the simcha when he's pulled into the simcha. So Rabbi Nachman says, that's the mashal of simcha. All the avodah of Adar is simcha. And Rabbi Nachman's telling us, this is the heights of one's attainment in simcha, that a person could be able to take the marash chora, the one who's sitting out, and to bring it in. Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Naso tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a desire. You know, you talk a lot. What does Hashem want? What does Hashem enjoy? What is Hashem interested in? And call it Torah Kuli. Give us the Torah to tell us His Ratzon. To convey His Ratzon to us. But the truth is, there's probably no Maimer Chazal that's as explicit as the Medrash Tanchum and Parshas Nasa, where it tells us exactly what Hashem was thinking in creating the world. And the Medrash very famously says, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, B'sha'a Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sa'olam, when Hashem created the world, says Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, I'll tell you exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was thinking. Nis'ava she'alo dira b'tachtonim k'mo she'yesh v'alyonim. Hashem said, I want to have a dira b'tachtonim, I want to dwell in the lower world, the same way that I dwell in the upper worlds. I don't want to be a God who's out there. I want to be a God who's in this world. And the Medrash goes on and says, when was that fulfilled? Dafka these parshas that we read in the context of this time of the year, Purim. When was this fulfilled? Emesai kishuhu kama mishkan. When the Mishkan was built, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, had a place in this world. Adir b'tachton. Sefer Chasidus, some of us learned, a little mimer from the Lubavitcher Rebbe called In Yonash Al Torah HaChasidus, where the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains by Arichus that Dira B'tachtona means that Hashem's greatest desire is to reach into the farthest recesses of reality. That Hashem doesn't want the Jew, doesn't only, I should say, want the Jew who feels so naturally welcomed in the base Medrash. Hashem doesn't want the part of ourself that feels so natural in the performance of mitzvot and avodas Hashem. Hashem says, I want Dira B'tachtona, I want to find the lowest element, so to speak. I want to reach out into the farthest recesses, the one who's really off in the corner, who's trying not even to be noticed. And I want him to be pulled into the middle of the circle. Chodesh Adar, the Sfarim say, Chodesh Adar, so to speak, is the one who's sitting things out. Chodesh Adar is the Dira B'tachtonim. If you look at the calendar year, from Rosh to Sof, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chadashim, Nisan is the Rosh, and the Tachtonim, the lowest point of the calendar year, the end of the calendar year, Rishon, the Rosh being Nisan, Chodesh Nisan, the Zman of Geulas Mitzrayim, the Zman of clarity, of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, open miracles. And Adar is the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely concealed. As was pointed out, Esther Min HaTorah Minayin, Anochi Haster Astir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally hidden. The Dira B'Tachtonim, the lowest place, the lowest point of the calendar year. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nis'ava, my greatest desire, my greatest taiva. Hashem is taivas. Hashem's greatest desire is to have a dira b'tachton. I want to reach out. I want the simcha to be complete. I don't want anyone sitting out on the side. I want everyone to be a part of my celebration. So where is that? Where is that Jew? Who is that Jew? What is that Jew? Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to reach out into, again, to the depths of other, to pull out that Jew? Who is it? What is that? Where is it found? So if I were to ask you, what is the ultimate number of Purim? What would you say? Anyone have a suggestion? What would you say is the ultimate number of Purim? Yeah?
A seven for a Teva.
Seven, okay. Maybe.
As I know, there are earlier on, so.
Yeah, maybe.
52.
52. Why 52?
A lot of my nestles may have to pop up about 10 times.
Okay. Could be. One is Hashem, so it's a good number. It's a good Jewish number. There's certain numbers that are connected to different Yom Tov. Okay, the number that I think is most connected to Purim is the number 54. What's the number 54? You start to learn the sugya b'pnimis, you see 54 is all over the place. How many times does Esther's name appear in the Megillah? 54 times. How many times does Haman's name appear in the Megillah? 54 times. The Rokeach points that out. Rokeach, one of the Gedolei Rishonim. Rokeach says if you add up the 10 sons of Haman, you add up the letters in their name, there are 54 letters in the name, in the names of the 10 sons of Haman. We know that we do our best to battle against the Malik. We hope that Macho, Timcha, Emcha, at the end of the day, after all of our trying, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Emcha, I'll take care of it at the end of the day. You have to try, Macho, Timcha, but at the end, Emcha, I will erase a Malik. Once and for all, Kodesh Baruch Hu says. Emcha, the Sfarim say, is Gematria 54. That only a Kodesh Baruch Hu has the ability to erase, to fully erase a Malik. The Shorish of a Malik is a grandson of Esav. When Yaakov goes to encounter Esav, and he bows down to him, and maybe Mordechai's refusal to bow is connected to that, Yaakov Avinu davens, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Save me, Rabbi Shalom, save me miyad achi miyad Esav. Save me, please, from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esav. And if you look at the Baal Turim over there, the Baal Turim says, Hatzileni na miyad, the Baal Turim says, is Rashi Tevos Haman, Hatzileni na miyad. But the Svarim also point out, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav, miyad is also 54. So all these references to 54, 54 Mordechai and Esther, 54 times, in the 54 letters in the names of Haman's children, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav, which is Yaakov's tefillah. Who are we fighting? Who's the enemy? The four Galios of Jewish history, Bavel, Madai, Yavan, and Edom. The story of Purim took place in the second of the Galios, and Galios Madai. Madai is also 54. Galios Madai is 54. This number keeps coming back, 54. We just said in the Shir Shal Yom this morning. We said in the Shir Shal Yom, we know that Amalek is known for their gaiva. Mordechai and Esther are known for their humility. We said this morning in the davening, we said in the Shir Shal Yom, Tehillim, Kapitel Tzadi Dalet, Hashev Gemul Al Geyim. Hashem, pour out your wrath. Take revenge against the Geyim, the Gaivadik ones. Gimel Aleph Yud Mem, the Svarim say, is also 54. Geyim, though. Who are the haughty ones? Who are the ones at the chutzpah to attack Klaisel right after we left Mitzrayim? It's a Malik. Hashev Gemul Al Geyim, pour out your wrath against the haughty ones. Again, is it Tefillah? Is it Tefillah against Haman HaRasha and a Malik? The Vilna Gaon says that the correct nusach of the Al HaNisim is to incorporate that phrase that we just mentioned, Vashevoso lo gmulo al rosho, and the Vilna Gaon is a cheshbon, that if you say the correct nusach of Al HaNisim, you know how many words are in Al HaNisim? 54 words are in Al HaNisim. So what's going on with this number? It's all over the place. It's mamish all over the place. I heard from Rosh Yeshiva once, La'ihude maiso over v'simcha v'sason vikar. You add up the Rashi Tevos of that most famous phrase of Megillah, also is Gematria 54. It's mamish all over the place. It's a strange thing. At the turning point where Haman's about to be sent to his death, he's nofel al hamita, he falls on the mita where Esther is, and Achshverosh comes in and he's fuming. He's so angry, how could it be that you tried to get into bed with my Rebbetzin? Al hamita, mita's Gematria 54. That's the moment that Haman's, that's it, it's over for Haman. So you feed this number, it's all over the place. It's all over the place. You need to understand what the secret of this number is. We know that Amalek likes to attack that Jew sitting in the corner. Amalek likes to target the weaklings. Mefurish Pasuk. Pasuk says at the end of Kiseitzei, Zachor es asher asa lecha Amalek b'derech b'tzeischem Mitzrayim, that Amalek asher karcha b'derech, asher karo, Rabbi Belzan was talking about, v'yizone b'cha kol anechasholim acharecha. And they came to attack the Nechashalim, the weaklings. Rashi said, Chaseire koach machmas chetam. Jews who were weakened by their sins, who didn't feel that they were part of the tzibur. So much so, Shahaya Anon Koltan, that they got kicked out of the Anani HaKavod, Rashi says. Who are these Jews that got kicked out of the Anani HaKavod? Who are these Jews that got kicked out of the Anani HaKavod? Who are they? So if you look in the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Kiseitzei, if you look at the Targum Yonason over there, if you look at the Baal Turim over there, he brings a remez to this. It's members of Shevet Dan. Members of Shevet Dan are the Chaserei Koach, these weaklings, who got kicked, literally kicked out of the Anani HaKavod. Go sit in the corner. Like the Rebbe who expels the student from class. Right? Go sit in the corner. You're not part of the rest of the group. Go sit out in the corner. And the child's all depressed and he goes and he sits in the corner. And nowadays the teacher would get fired for that. Yeah? But who are these weaklings? It's Shevet Dan. The Baal HaTurim says Kol anachasholam acharecha is gematria zehaya shivto shel Dan. But already the Medrash says it's Shevet Dan. What's the story of Shevet Dan? What's the tragic history of Shevet Dan? Shevet Dan is the weakest of the Shvatim. Shevet Dan has Avodah Zarah when the Klal Yisrael crossed through the Yamsuf. Shevet Dan is the one who's involved in Avodah Zarah and Shoftim, Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yutes. Shevet Dan is the last one to get a portion of Eretz Yisrael. They're an afterthought. Forget about them. Let them sit it out. When Yeravam ben Nevat is looking for someone to house his Avodah Zarah, his ego, let's put it by Shevet Dan. They're not really so Jewish anyways. When Klal Yisrael crossed through the Yam, the Vilna Gaon says they crossed through the Yam in the same way they traveled in the Midbar, with Shevet Dan bringing up the rear, the Ma'asev L'chol HaMachros, the last ones to emerge from the water. And the Vilna Gaon writes in Kol Eliyahu, he says, if you look, the water formed walls for Klal Yisrael. The Mayim was a Choma, it says it twice. The first time Choma is spelled with a Vav. The second time it's spelled without a Vav. It's as if it says Chema. Hashem was very angry, says the Medrash, by the Yam. Why was Hashem angry? Because Hashem saw Shevet Dan, the last ones in the water, along with the Mitzrim. And Hashem saw Shevet Dan, you're involved in Avodah Zarah, and it's not getting any better. You're going to have a very tragic history, Shevet Dan. So you know what? Chema. Hashem got so angry by the Yam for a second, Hashem says, you know what? Maybe I should just drown Shevet Dan with the Mitzrim. Cut off this Sheva. What do we need them for? What do we need them? They're not part of the Tzibor anyways. They're sitting in the corner anyways. They're always the afterthought. They're not connected. They're not part of the Tzibor. They're the Ma'asif L'chol HaMachnos. They're the one who brings up the rear guard, so to speak. The one who's disconnected. But the whole avoda of everything that Hashem desires in this world, the Dira B'tachtonim, that Hashem wants us to reach out to the one who's in the corner, or reach out to the part of ourselves that feels that we're not shaykh to the dancing, to the simcha, and to take the one, to take the Marash Chora, and to bring it into the circle. To say, Ma'asli v'chol ha'machanos, you're the one who gathers up the camp, so to speak, the last one of the camp, but that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to be Ma'asli v'chol ha'machanos. We're going to make you feel part of the machana. We're going to take Shevet Dan, we're going to drag you back in. You got kicked out of the Anani HaKavod. They're sitting it out. But we want you to be back. We want you to be part of the circle. We want to take your Marash Chora, I want to take your bitter experience, your tragic story, and I want to put you back in. And therefore, of course, it's not by chance that Shevet Dan is Gematria 54. Dan is Gematria 54. Because the whole story of the Megillah with this number 54 appearing over and over and over again. Shevet Dan, the last of the camp corresponding to the last month, Chodesh Adar, is the story of the Jew who doesn't feel that he's shaykh to the Simcha. The Jew says, I can't be a part of this. Right? Or the part of ourselves that's B'marish Chor, that's depressed and can't get out of bed and just says, it's not for me, it's not my thing. We say to the Marash Chora, Ma'asif l'chol ha'machros, you're the one who's going to, you're the last piece that we need to make the Simcha complete. Come dance in the middle of the circle, like Rabbi Nachman was describing. Come make the Simcha complete, because without you, if the Marash Chora doesn't get a tikkun, if the sadness and depression doesn't get a tikkun, then there's nothing to talk about. That's why Marash Chora is exactly gematria, Ma'asif l'chol ha'machros. Because when Shevet Dan joins the Tzibur, when you take the depression, exactly what Rabbi Nachman said, when you take that depression and you bring it in, and you turn it into simcha, that's the greatest simcha of all. That's the dira b'tachton. That's Hashem says, oh, good, now, my taiva, my desire has been completed. So Amir Tzashem, in the month of Adar, Aleph Dar, where Alufo Shel Olam, as the Sfarim say, wants to be Dar, wants to dwell amongst us. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to be a part of our world, but Hashem says, the simcha is only going to be complete if you go after every Jew and you drag them back in. You get the Shevet Dan Jews. You get the Jews who feel they don't have a kesher to this. And you get the part of yourself that feels that it doesn't have a kesher to this. Again, the way Rabbi Belzon was describing, how Esther was making excuses, now's not the time, now's not the place, maybe tomorrow, maybe a different time, maybe someone else. To be able to say to that Marash Chora, that we're going to be Vina Hafachu, we're going to turn you into a source of Simcha. That's the secret of the number 54, as relates to Megillah Esther.
Okay. I was learning the Megillah yesterday with my friend Zev Miller from Beis Medrash over here. He made an interesting ha'ara. But I want to introduce someone who maybe you know. I certainly don't want to keep him waiting. Mr. Martin Galla is a...